Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, March 27th, my mom's birthday.
Whoa, happy birthday, Jamie Kennedy.
2023. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Forbes. 30 under 30, a.k.a. the second best baby blues in San Francisco, a.k.a. the New York Times quoted at Tim Geddes.
Well, Tim Host, very excited to be here with you today on this Monday.
I'm excited to be here with you, Timothy, for a number of reasons. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of video games. We have a lot of different things, but I'm happy to report, I was watching the live chat before we went live, Travis Warren on Twitch is going to be a regular viewer live again for quite some time. He said he's having some job/family issues, which isn't, but the silver lining is we'll see you every day, Travis, because we're happy to be here.
And we'll make it a good one for you.
How was your weekend, Tim?
Oh, it was fantastic. It was so good. Gia,
did you do nothing? Usually when you give me that kind of lead in, it's going to be you did nothing later on.
I did a lot of nothing, which was great.
Okay,
the good types of nothing, though, because so WrestleMania weekend is coming up this Saturday and Sunday.
Can't wait.
But it was Gia's best friend's birthday this past weekend down in LA. So she got a head start.
Okay.
So she's down there already. She's there the whole week.
Is she hanging out with Kevin Owens?
You know what? I'm not exactly sure.
Sure, okay.
But I'm meeting her later in the week, which meant that it was just me and the dogs this whole week.
Oh, the dogs, so, like, them dirty dogs.
I got to literally do whatever I wanted.
Oh man, that's always a good feeling.
Yeah, it was great. It's rare. You know, very, 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 very rare. Missed the hell out of her. It's like, what's
of
the
course.
Point?
Of course. We're not doing the old ball and chain stuff. You love her.
I get
it. I love her.
I do.
Barrett loves her. We all love
so
her.
So much love left.
But when
right.
you get that momentary, like, whoa, wait, I can run my own schedule or something, that's a different
thing. But see, but then there's the moments of like, there's so many things I want to do, but then I'm like, what do I want to do without her?
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
sure,
that's
sure,
the,
sure,
there's
sure.
so many things I want to watch. I had to watch Succession without it. That wasn't fun.
Bing.
You know?
Bong.
We're talking about that later today. YouTube.com/kindoffunny. Live at 11:30
I was in a similar situation this weekend, Timmy. Alyssa was out of town, and I was like, what do I watch without Alyssa? Because I know she won't be into certain things. Watch John Wick 1 for the very first time.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
I hear Keanu Reeves is in it.
Yes,
he is.
Nice. That's cool.
Yeah. So because of that, exactly with G gone, I ended up watching a lot of Star Wars Rebels, which is good.
Ah, great.
That's a no-go time for G-skis, but it's a let's-go time for me. But I also loaded up WWE 2K23. I was in the mood.
Oh, yeah,
going into Mania. Didn't get to do too much. Did a little bit of the John Cena showcase mode thing. Love the presentation of that. It's very, very, very cool. And I spent a ridiculous amount of time creating a character, and then the game crashed.
Ah.
And it all just went away. And it was...
Same thing happened to Cleef Adams, man. Oh. You got to do the momentary saves like you're back in the old days,
shit,
or like you're playing in a power outage. You know,
know this is such a nitpick, but it's a big deal to me. Obviously, that sucked, but whatever. Shit happens. I don't blame them for that fully. It's more like, I'm not going to do it again.
Yeah. So, yeah. Were you making yourself or were you making somebody else?
I was making myself. Yeah, just for fun. But the thing that drives me crazy, and I don't know if there's a solution to this, is creative characters, when there's so many options, I need it to load faster.
Yeah.
I need it to be instantaneous because when I'm trying to decide, do I like this face or this face better? And they look so, so similar. And when you're looking at the chart of like all the different ones, there seems to be no rhyme or reason of like
the order,
order to it, which I understand why they want to do that. But also looking at the images, like specifically looking at the images of all the faces with the beards on it, it's like they all look so identical on just the like preview one. And then you actually pull it in, and it takes like milliseconds to load.
Yeah.
But that is distracting enough that I'm like, wait, which one am I on? Like, what's going on?
Totally.
And when you multiply that by thousands of times for every decision you're making, it's just not fun. No. And I don't know what the solution is.
Well, I don't know how long you want me to go on my soapbox about the problems of WWE 2K games. And I love 2K23. I play it every day. I'm playing my factions like a mad person. So it's not that I'm saying it's bad, but I have many critiques that I keep teasing and talking about what I want to do with my kind of funny showcase, what I do, my speech about what I want them to do with WWE. The problem here, I think, is, of course, the usual problem with a 2K game that is on every platform, where I just don't think you can optimize that engine because you're making it run for PlayStation 4. As always, when I think they drop the last-gen SKUs, things will be better. I do notice that load times are better this time around for 2K23, and hopefully that'll continue as a trend, but I really think it's the other things holding them back. They try to make it run on everything, and that's where you get into the situation.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's just really unfortunate.
It is unfortunate, but you know what's not unfortunate, ladies and gentlemen? We have Zelda. That's right. Zelda is coming momentarily, instantaneously, any day now. But before we actually play it, we're going to get 10 minutes of gameplay. Multiversus is going offline in a crazy story Blessing is ranting and raving about, and we'll have so much more to talk about because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday, on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show for free at kindoffunny.com/KFGD, where you can give us your questions, comments, concerns, everything about the daily news to be included on the show as we record it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on podcast services around the globe and watching on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Of course, watching live, you're wronging, watching for free on YouTube, listening to ads, that's all great. But maybe you want to go that extra mile and support us on patreon.com/kindoffunny. On patreon.com/kindoffunny, you, of course, get each and every episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily ad-free as a video and an MP3. You get every other podcast that way, every other piece of content that way. You can watch us record the podcast live as we record them like we're doing with the Kinda Funny podcast this afternoon. And, of course, you can get dozens of exclusive episodes of content that are only on patreon.com/kindoffunny each and every month, like this week's live Gregway. For 1 hour, I'm sitting down with you, whoever wants to come through, and talking on the live stream, answering your questions from the chat. So come on over to patreon.com/kindoffunny.
Cues from the seas, what they call them, Greg.
Cues from the seas. Customers?
Questions from the chat.
Ah, okay. Did Alfredo teach you that?
No. We made it up right here, right now.
Wow.
That's my gift to you, Travis. Thanks for watching live.
Wow. Housekeeping for you, John Wick 4 in review is up right now on youtube.com/kindoffunny. It's a banging good time because he goes bang bang, I guess. I don't know. How was it? Is it good?
John Wick 4?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm thinking it's good, Greg.
Okay. Better or worse than Shazam Fury of the Gods?
Oh, you see that, Zachary Levi? Even out of context, that clip's doing him so fucking dirty. But
I mean,
there's no context that can make that an accurate statement.
Do not know Zachary Levi. He came on Up at Noon once via a Zoom call. He's extremely nice. He's always seemed extremely nice. All of the things I see broken out on TikTok recently make him seem like he's unhinged about his Fury of the Gods.
Dude, it's wild. Because, yeah, I've had nothing but amazing experiences with him in real life. And then everything I'm seeing recently, I'm like, oh, man. Either like everything's deeper. Don't trust anybody, Greg. Don't trust
Are you right now? You know, of course, when Vin Diesel and The Rock split up,
mm-hmm.
You took Vin's side, of course.
I didn't take Vin's side.
And I, of course, stuck with my man, Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yeah. I'm in a very anti-Rock thing. You're very anti-Rock mood in almost every way when it comes to the choices that he's made and all this stuff. I get there's politics every which way. I'm not saying that the other side's right. I am saying, though, that the egos get in the way of some things, and I think it's inarguable.
They sure do, Nick.
The lack of Rock in the Fast and Furious as of recent times, and just Black Adam in general.
Yeah.
Everything that happened there, you know.
I mean, for the Black Adam thing though, and you know me, I care about the DC EU and just the DC in general. I gotta respect it to a degree of just he came
to what
in,
degree?
He comes in though and he's like, wait a second. Nobody's in charge of this shit. I can just grab it and run with it. And I was like, you know what? Again, somebody's gotta have a vision for it.
Yeah.
Now we got James Gunn, everything's gonna be fine, but whatever. Yeah.
But I did watch John Wick again this weekend. And it just reconfirmed that John Wick 4 is a masterpiece of an event, of a movie, of an experience. And everybody should check it out. It is 3 hours that goes by. Blink of an
3
eye.
3 hours.
Three fucking hours, Greg.
Gun fu.
It delivers.
All right. Would I like it if I haven't watched 1, 2, or 3?
Yes.
Okay. What if I didn't like Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey?
You know, a little iffier then. A little iffier on that one.
Over on Patreon, we got a brand new episode of The Shit List Up where Blessing and Tim break down the top 10 games that revived a franchise. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Tripod Plus Plus, Delaney Twining. Today, we're brought to you by Rocket Money and Shady Rays, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. 6 items on the Roper Report.
a baker's dozen.
Number one. A Zelda Tears of the Kingdom gameplay presentation is coming tomorrow. We go to Ryan Dinsdale at IGN.com. Upcoming Nintendo Switch exclusive, The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom is getting a 10-minute gameplay presentation tomorrow from Zelda producer. Announced in a tweet from Nintendo of America, the presentation will take place on March 28th at 7 a.m. Pacific time. Tim, are you waking up for it?
I don't think we're going to be able to pull this one off.
Boo!
Yeah. It's not fun.
Are we going to try this? Do you want to? We could do the thing where we just stay completely cold and watch it on Games Daily tomorrow. Me and Bless could do that.
Probably 10 minutes.
Well, 10 minutes, I guess that's a long time.
That is a lot, yeah.
You're right.
But I mean, it's not the worst idea.
I mean, Tim, you and I could talk off camera.
Yeah, I got to figure it out. But yeah, this is...
Because I have a weird morning tomorrow. I have a weird day tomorrow. But I think that might just be early enough that it doesn't get in the way of other shit, so... We can maybe figure something out.
We might be able to figure something out, but no freaking promises anybody.
Okay, everybody stay tuned. We'll figure it out. You know how we like to react to things, but you know we have lives. It's 7 a.m. early, and Nintendo doesn't care about
it. It's not so much about the 7 a.m. being early. It's more just about like the amount of things we have going on.
Remember, everybody, we're 11-people company. We make a lot of cool shit for you each and every day, so just take it easy on us, all right? Don't go yelling at Boo. Why would you boo?
Boo.
I saw a bunch of people in chat booing. That was rude. Don't boo people.
Wasn't
you know
that
what
you?
Mean? No, what? Back to the story. Quote. Join the Legend of Legend of Zelda series producer, and this is Eiji Onuma, right? I know that part. For roughly 10 minutes of gameplay from The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, the tweet said, adding that it can be watched on Nintendo's YouTube channel. Are you hyped for this?
No.
I don't need it. To watch.
That's the thing. I'm excited it's happening because I know that a lot of people are getting really kind of like antsy about the lack of deep dives we've gotten on Breath of Tears of the Kingdom.
Yeah.
I'm firmly in the camp that I think a lot of people are kind of funny are of like, we don't need to see anything more.
Sure.
Barrett already nailed the entire plot of this by reacting to this trailer and giving his theories. But besides that, it's like, we're here because of what this is. This is the sequel to Breath of the Wild. I'm here for surprises. I'm here to be wowed, hopefully.
Wow.
And I don't need to see too much more. We've already seen more than enough that I'm like, yeah, I'm freaking in. It looks like a darker Breath of the Wild, and it's been a long time since I played Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
I'm ready for it. So,
Did you even contemplate going back and playing Breath of the Wild before this?
Many, many times.
Yeah.
And, no, because it's like...
I'm with you. I did the same thing, where I was like, and then I've just gotten so close, and I'm like, there's no way I could fit in with all the other
stuff. It's just too big of a thing, too, and I just don't want to, like... It's been long enough since I played Breath of the Wild that I feel like playing Tears of the Kingdom is going to feel so fresh to me.
Gotcha.
And I don't want to, like... taint that at all. So that's why even with the video coming out tomorrow, I'm not too concerned that whatever 10 minutes they show us isn't going to ruin
anything. Here's the end.
It's fine.
Because like if you remember like back when they originally showed Breath of the Wild gameplay, what was that? Like E3 2015 or something like that? Where they like it was like off camera, like it was like on a screen that we had to watch it where they were playing it. And that was like roughly 10-15 minutes of gameplay. So
yeah. And that showed nothing except we should be excited for this. Yeah, so exactly. It's like, yeah, I know I'm okay seeing like if we just get like one gameplay segment going through, kind of showing like whatever. There is a lot of questions about this game in terms of shrines, dungeons, like what that stuff looks like. Yeah. And maybe we see a little bit of that, or maybe we just see him go take out another camp like with that original demo that they showed. Either way, I think this is going to satiate the desires that want to see more, that feel like they're not getting enough. And for everybody else, they can choose to watch it or not because the game's coming out in 2 months.
God, that's crazy.
Crazy.
Right? It's finally happening.
Yeah. Very excited, man. I have high hopes for this one, Greg. I don't know why.
I think everybody does. That's the thing is, do you think it'll live up to expectations? Do you think it'll exceed expectations?
I think yes to both of those. I also think it's going to let a lot of people down. I think it's a sequel to one of the biggest games of all time. So just like God of War Ragnarok, there's going to be people that are like, this is better. And then there's going to be people who be like, it's nowhere close. But it's like, I have no worry that it's not going to be in the conversation.
Okay. Is it game of the year, you think?
I mean, I think it'll be in the conversation. I just think that it gets harder for sequels. Like, I feel
of course.
What does game of the year mean? And like, what do each of us put into that? There is no one answer. Everyone has their own thing and groups get together and together have that own group's own thing of what game of the year means. And I do personally think that a level of innovation gives you bonus points. It's not a necessity, but I do think that It's harder for a sequel to be that game of the year,
of course,
like that je ne sais quoi about it, because
it's a known quantity.
It's a known quantity.
This is going to be, this is Breath of the Wild 2, even though it's not, but it is, right?
Yeah.
So you were expecting all the stuff we loved about Breath of the Wild to be improved upon and look better and do things and yada yada.
And I feel like Breath of the Wild was game of the year quality. And that makes it even harder for this one to do enough new stuff to get that the repeat of it.
Yeah.
And I think that it getting game of the year means something different than Breath of the Wild getting game of the year.
Sure.
Differently than if Uncharted didn't, but Uncharted 2 did, because it was the first one didn't, but they improved so much, and now the second one can because it deserves it. I don't think we're going to get that type of jump, but I also just don't think we need to. Like, I do think a Ragnarok-esque leap forward is all that's necessary for this thing to be, in my heart, a 10, which, like, I'm expecting a 10. And, like, not expecting in a way that, like, I might be let down. I think this is going to be a 10. What type of 10? I'm not sure. But, like, that's cool and exciting to me.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it. It's not one that I'm, like, sitting here and I'm, like, counting the days down to. I'm going to be excited when we get there, when we're on the precipice of it, when we have it, when it's going. But
I'm there, too.
Yeah.
I don't need it.
Because, again, I think that speaks to it just being, like, oh, it's more Breath of the Wild. Awesome.
Yeah.
I need it.
I know you do. Now, here's the thing. Blessing. Sorry. Barrett. There's a train barreling down the tracks.
Oh, God.
You can throw the Switch, but one game has to die.
Oh, shit.
Zelda or Star Wars? Of course, Survivor. One of them has to die.
I think Star Wars has to die.
Damn, fuck you.
Yeah.
Ouch. You going to do Cal like that? Greasy money like that?
Greasy money, man.
I mean, I just, for me personally, I feel like Cal's story is like tied up in a nice bow at the end of that game. So.
But now they can unwrap it and tie it up again.
Put Greasy money in Zelda.
I mean, that's the crossover I've been waiting for. You know, they say it's in a galaxy far, far away. Maybe it's Zelda's galaxy.
Yeah.
And they keep playing with time.
Mm-hmm.
And Link's got some kind of weird glove. All sorts of shit's happening.
Who knows? Right? Who knows?
Who knows? Number two on the Roper Report. Speaking of the multiverse, Multiversus open beta is going offline in June. We read from the game's official blog post. Hi, everyone. This is Tony from Player First Games. I'm here on behalf of the entire Multiversus team to say thank you for your support during our open beta. We've been excited to see the interest and enthusiasm from the community, and your feedback has been invaluable. We continue to be humbled by the awards the game has received and excited to see the enjoyment that Multiversus has brought to players. Throughout our open beta, we've been working hard to build the best gameplay experience, and we appreciate all of the inspiration you've given us. Our open beta has been an important learning opportunity for us and stepping stone to the next phase of Multiversus. We know there's still a lot of work to do. As a result, we have a clearer view of what we need to focus on, specifically the content cadence of new characters, maps, and modes to give you more ways to enjoy the game, along with updated netcode and more matchmaking improvements. We'll also be reworking the progression system based on your feedback and looking at new ways for you to connect with your friends in-game. To do this the right way, we will be closing the Multiversus open beta on June 25th, 2023. As part of this process, we'll be pausing updates and taking the game offline as we prepare for the launch of Multiversus, which we are targeting in early 2024. I'm sure you're wondering what this means for you. During this downtime, all online modes and features will be unavailable. You will have limited offline access to the training room, known as the lab, and local matches, along with access to your characters and cosmetic items within these modes. We do know that this news might be disappointing, but rest assured, Multiversus will be back. We'll also ensure that all of your progress and content will carry over when Multiversus returns next year with a variety of new content, features, and modes.
Timothy? I don't know that I'm going to rest that assured that it's coming back.
Not a chance I'm resting assured. This is like one of those you read, you're like, was this really? Was this always a beta? Did we know that this was always a beta?
Bless, I'm not reading your mic. Is it on?
Your mic is not being read. Your mic is not being read. We do not have a mic being read, according to Barrett. What is it on?
He gave me the thumbs up like it was on.
Now he's turning. He thought you gave him the thumbs up. Now they're looking at it. Now they're, yeah. Jump on there.
Hey, what's up, Greg? What's up, Tim? No, I was basically saying, can you believe that they're trying to Mandela affect us into believing that this game has been in open beta for like the last half year? Absolutely no way. Absolutely no way. No, this is wild. And it's
What? But like, seriously, was it in? Did they talk about this being a beta?
I guess. Like my assumption was that this would gradually roll into a final release. right? Like when it first came out back in what, August? For a few weeks there, it was in a beta stage, and then they rolled into something else that I thought was just the final release.
Yeah.
Because if you remember, they've been releasing characters periodically.
Yeah.
Like every other week, going into months, they've been releasing characters, been releasing content, been treating this game like it's a final release. The game was nominated at the Game Awards.
Yeah.
Won Best Fighting Game at the Game Awards. If you asked me what state this game was in, I would have been like, oh yeah, this is the final game. This game's in full release. Apparently not. Apparently, he's been in open beta this whole time.
So then the question has become, I think, really right, as we've seen and heard and people have talked about multiverses is a drop-off in players and having an audience, all these different things. This is an interesting way to stop, make changes, get new characters, reset, come back, and blah, blah. Do you think they make it back?
I think they make it back. I think the question is, once they do make it back, does it have the splash again? I think this is actually a good idea, mainly for the fact that we've talked about multiverses and its numbers, and it's not been doing well in recent months. It was doing really well at launch, right? It had a lot of players, but the drop-off has been very dramatic, and I think what they're probably betting on is the idea of, hey, if we take it offline in June, if we work on fixes, if we work on the updates that people are asking for, and then we come back in January, maybe we can come back with a spike. Right. And hopefully maintain that spike. I think right now, if we did the thing where what I imagine that they were planning on, which is, hey, let's launch it to open beta. Let's have it be open beta for a while, apparently. And then let's eventually roll it into a full release without taking offline. I would think that was their natural plan. I think being able to cut it off in June and going, hey, we're going offline to fix all these things, coming back half a year later, allows them to have a second launch moment where day one, week one, month one, they're seeing that player base again. And if it's that same number, who knows? Probably not. But if they're able to get a handful of those people back and then maintain and show that, no, we have the stuff now. Look at multiverses. Look at all the new stuff. Look at all the new characters that we've added. Maybe you're able to sustain that and have this second wind of the game.
Let me give you a few bars from Tom Ivan over at VGC. The Multiverses open beta launched in July 2022 and was initially very popular, with a peak of more than 143,000 players on Steam on day one, rising to a little over 153,000 the following day. A month after its launch, Warner claimed that over 20 million players had already downloaded and played the game, suggesting it had a strong base on which to build. Since then, however, the daily peak player count has dramatically fallen. Last month, it dipped below 1,000 for the first time, marking a drop in daily peak player count of 99.3574% in less than 7 months. Part of the reason for the drop in players may be a tepid response to the game's Season 2 content. The game's first season saw the release of 5 new characters over the course of around 2 months. However, since Season 2 started in mid-November, just one character, Marvin the Martian, has been released. Following a delay, Season 3 was due to begin on March 31st, but now Season 2 Battle Pass has been extended until the open beta's closure.
Yeah, it's a content problem.
Yeah, 100%, which we've seen how many times with all these games, right? I saw, very sad. I'm sure you all saw and watched it today. Sandra Saad, Miss Marvel in Avengers, they put up a video of her, saying goodbye. It was like, oh, man, you know what I mean? A game that could not figure out their end game content pipeline to keep things going.
Yeah, and I think that's the tough thing. I think multiverses as a Smash clone, but then also as a fighting game, and also as a free-to-play game, it's this brand new thing, right? I think the only other example you can give of something like this is Brawlhalla, which has the resources of Ubisoft and has been around for a long time, but is also something that is a bit under the radar when we're talking about the grand scheme of where fighting games and where these types of games want to be, right? Yeah. A live service type game. And so I think for them, they launched in free to play. They launched with the expectation of, all right, we're doing this new thing that feels like it fits in this realm of live service and battle pass and all this stuff. And in the beginning, it hits because the gameplay is fun enough. The characters are interesting and weird, and you got LeBron James that you can play as, and it's having its viral moments on social media.
And again,
streams.
That free to play, which I know you mentioned already, I think that is such a big deal. When you get these numbers out the gate, your game's free, and if people are playing it and it's actually good, but how do you keep them around? How do you get the money out of them to keep it going?
How do you keep them around, especially when maybe your new characters and new content aren't doing enough? When you launch a brand new character that is this big, and I'll say big in quotes, WB character, they're pulling a lot of random characters, right? But you launch a new character and you're like, hey, okay, people are going to come back for this, and you don't see those numbers come back.
Yeah.
I think you then pump the brakes and go, all right, what do we need to fix? Do we need to slow down? And do we have the resources to keep putting out content at a decent pace when we're not seeing people show up for that content? I think maybe them pulling it offline for 6 months maybe allows them to play catch up a little bit and go,
what if we were able to churn some stuff out and like launch back with more content, but then also maybe have a backlog of content that we can add over time.
Yeah.
I really think they're trying to figure it out. And it's a wild time because we're talking about a live service ecosystem that is volatile right now, as people are not having as much money to spend, right? You see Knockout City, my baby, yeah, is shutting down soon. Rumbleverse has shut down, yep, already. Yeah, and like you're seeing a lot of those. And multiverses, I would lump into that conversation of what that game, like the ilk of that game, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
multiverses,
of course,
I'll put in that conversation. And so I think they're looking at the space and going, oh man, all right, it's rough right now. Let's reconfigure, like let's figure out where we need to place ourselves in order to actually survive and not go the way of Knockout City and Rumbleverse.
I think, again, we joked around at the top of it of like, do you think they'll actually come back? I don't think they'll actually come back, and I don't think that's a reflection on the quality of the game or the developers or that they're lying right now. I bet the plan is to go offline, do everything they're talking about, build out. But like, you're talking about how volatile it is right now. And you said 6 months, which still doesn't even get us to 2024, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's that idea of you get to 2024, and that's a big year, and what is it going to look like then, and where are we going to be, and what are going to go on? And I think, again, the lesson seems to be learning from this is, like, how hard it is to launch a free-to-play games as service and keep people around. So do you try to pivot this game to be a $60, $45, $70?
That's the move, and that's not going to make people happy.
No,
that would
piss a lot.
Even then, like, maybe not $70, but
sure,
it's not free to play anymore. It's a $20 title, and it's complete. It's there. Maybe you can have DLC packs or something. It's just like Smash Brothers. This model doesn't work. We're seeing it now time and time again. How many times has it worked? Fortnite?
Yeah.
Just let Fortnite do its thing. Everybody tried. Everybody failed. Like, there aren't other examples of it succeeding for these type of games. And we continue to see people try and do this and then fail. And, like, it's always a different way of failing, and it's always a different way of them kind of figuring out what they're going to do to fix this.
And I want
to
stop you.
Go for it.
I love that this is also a different way. If you're talking about a different way of failing, this is also a different way of dealing with the failure. I appreciate that. That it's not just pull the plug. You know what I mean? That they're trying. We'll see what happens and if they actually make it back. Because, again, what I think it's going to be is WB Games at the top, right? And whatever the fuck's going on with them is
which
they continue to ship.
That's a whole other fucking... Like, yeah. That's the thing is, like, you need support from every level down to make these type of things work. And we already know that WB doesn't have that. And we now see the results. We talked about the Steam numbers. We know, like, what this game is getting, and it's not enough to be able to support a free-to-play game. Whereas things like Brawlhalla understand their audience, and for years they've been able to satiate that audience. Multiverse
so
hasn't
small.
Satiated yeah. that audience, and yeah. they just kind of like have that audience was excited for a month, maybe, and that's being very generous.
I
and
think
they
a month
really
is about
but they enjoyed it. They enjoyed it, and like there was content being delivered to them. It was fun to do all the challenges and stuff. But then at some point, it's not anymore because the content's not there and the player base isn't there. And now they're going offline, which like it's just this is just that weird position where, okay, it's a free-to-play game, so are they really taking anything away from people by making it not playable online? It's like, well, what about all the people that bought all the microtransactions and
sure.
stuff? We just need to understand that's where we're at these days.
It's a gamble.
Like, it is a gamble, yeah. and it shouldn't be, but it is, and it sucks that we're just that this just keeps happening, and I hope that it stops, and I don't think it's going to.
Oh, really?
I think at least a year or two away from it. I think we're going to see.
I think we're seeing
more.
We're seeing so many bodies pile up here that you have to be like, okay, shit. Like, yeah, maybe there's people who are going to go all the way through. It'll be interesting for us on PS I Love You with PlayStation doing all these live service games they keep talking about, right? Like, what does that mean? And of course, if Last of Us Factions is a live service, that would be one you'd look to, and I think, all right, that might have a shot, right? Of like, if they're integrating Naughty Dog stories and it's a PlayStation exclusive, and there's all these things, like, it won't be fucking Fortnite, but there's a shot at that, right? Because again, I think leadership from top down would be behind that. Whereas with WB, I think it's the classic thing of we're WB, we're PlayStation All Stars Battle Royale. We have our own properties that everybody's love. Put them all in a game. Put LeBron James in there. It'll be fucking dope. And it's like, okay, yeah, this is again a novelty that people play for a little bit, but then they're on to the next novelty.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the tough thing, too, is I don't know if they can release for full price and be successful doing that. I think that's the thing where we're in between a rock and a hard place with these release structures for these kind of games. If you want to make an ongoing game where I enjoyed multiverses, I wouldn't pay $70 for multiverses.
Sure,
like, I don't think the game...
Would you pay $20 for it?
I'll pay $20 for it. Yeah. And that's the thing is I think you have to find what works, right? Meet in the middle, maybe, and go, all right, what is this game worth to people? And what is going to keep people around? I think that's why you experiment with something like free-to-play and something like a battle pass, because it is, all right, what if we get, what if we give you this game for free and give you these bits of, hey, every other month, pay us $10 for a pack, right?
Yeah.
Like the Fortnite model. And that works for Fortnite. And I think there could be something promising there for a fighting game, but it's just what's so funny. Is that how small I am?
No, that people, that was older. Yeah, small bless because you're back a bit. It's more just, I love the outfit and the jacket.
Yeah.
Can I touch the collar? How soft is it?
It's so soft. It's so comfortable.
Let's touch this.
It's so comfortable.
Damn. That's a nice ass.
I found this randomly in my closet yesterday.
It looks like an airplane pillow.
Oh, yeah.
It also looks like an airplane jacket. Like, it looks like he could be a pilot.
Well, I bought this on ASOS like a year ago, thinking that I was going to be a little bit skinnier. And I got it and I was like, oh, this isn't what I wanted. And I just threw it in the back of my closet.
Sure.
And then I found it yesterday and I was like,
it's a little chilly.
Yeah, it was perfect. A little chilly. I put it on. I was like, oh, this is so warm and comfy. So now you're going to see me in this jacket a lot more often.
Good.
Yeah.
I gotta at some point just give Bless my credit card, let him buy clothes for me.
I got you.
That and donuts, apparently.
Yes, the donuts. Yes.
If I hit the donut. Like,
I think so. Yeah, I think the last one was the last one. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. I can still bring you donuts.
If it's you want to switch over to breakfast sandwiches when you're getting those, I'll be down for that.
Sure. Okay, you want to give me another 20?
Yeah. Sure. Well, my wallet's on my desk. Yeah.
It's a really good breakfast sandwich.
Yeah. It looks great. Yeah. I know.
It's going to blow you away.
Okay. Cool.
Cool.
All right.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
No, thanks for coming through. This is great. This is fun.
You know, it's funny though, like taking it out of the conversation just of the live service games, but into like the last generation iteration of it, which was just MMOs and like looking at Final Fantasy 14 and it coming out and kind of being a stinker, and then Realm Reborn figuring it out. And like, you know, it shows, and you know, there's countless other examples of that, of the turnarounds, even in games that aren't necessarily that style, like No Man's Sky, things like that, Rainbow Six Extraction, Siege. But I feel like with these type of games, you really got to look at the game you're making, and or not even the game you're making, game others are making, us as gamers, looking at it and be like, should this be a live service or would it be better served to not be?
I think 90% of the time, if not 95% of the time, it's going to be no.
Exactly.
It should not be a live service.
And I look at like Multiverses, I think, is an interesting one specifically because you can compare it directly to Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
And Smash Brothers released at $60. Then there was the Challenger Packs, which like I don't even remember, but I think $25 got you everything.
Yeah.
Something like that. Or you could buy it a little more piecemeal and it adds up. I've spent hundreds of dollars on Smash Brothers the whole franchise, but between Ultimate and Wii U, which were very similar games, I bought them multiple times and on 3DS and the DLC and then the DLC on the different consoles. Like, I spent a lot of money on it, but I got so much out of that. And I'm not mad at that at all. And it was high quality content that I will play forever. Multiverses did not do that in any way, shape, or form. And it's free to play, but there's all the little gotcha things here and there.
Yeah.
And there's no content to follow up on. Or there is, but it's not enough and all of that. I would think I would want that model for Smash Brothers. But as a Smash Brothers fan, I would love it if Nintendo took it seriously and had a Fortnite-esque rollout plan, and Smash Brothers just lived forever and changed and grew and things were being added, and I just got to do challenges every day and week and stuff. That would be freaking awesome in theory, but it's not working. Why is it not working? Is it because it's not Nintendo? Is it because it's Warner Brothers? Is it because it's not being thought from a is this fun perspective? It's just how do I make as much money as fast as possible perspective? Like, was this the plan? To just fucking go, hope it works. If it works, great, continue forever. Or, hey, we made hell of money right now. Like, let's, if it works out in 2024, it does. If not, we're just going to cut and run. Like, because it kind of just feels like that's the case. Whereas, like, things like Knockout City, that doesn't necessarily feel like that was the goal there, you know?
Yeah.
But I just don't know what happens here.
You know, this pivots the conversation in a great direction. And I appreciate the question and how you're thinking about it, right? So there's a few different things you'd say that I'll get in and throw on my hypothesis and theories about, right? For Smash and Nintendo, you're like, would that work? 1,000%. That would fucking kill for Nintendo. And I mean, obviously Smash already kills. I'm not trying to say that. But I think what you're talking about, if they turned and pivoted to a live service, blah, blah, blah. And the reason there is because of who that fan base is. Because of not only the Nintendo fan, but the Smash fan, right? I don't think WB has the same love of it. I'm a big DC guy, but you could be a big Looney Tunes guy. But is that is WB what's bringing you through the door? Like, when I went to the WB store growing up all the time in Oak Brook, Illinois, I went in and beeline to the DC section or beeline to the Superman. You know what I mean? Like, I ignored the Bugs Bunny shit. I didn't care about it. And so I think when you're a Nintendo fan, you're a Nintendo fan, and that you can be, I love Mario, I love Samus or whatever, but it's like you respect everybody else and their parts to play in the situation. I think WB putting that out there, and this is again not a knock at them or the developers or anything, I think feels kind of soulless. And I think that's what comes back to, and I love these games, Knockout City and Rumbleverse and Multiverses, right? Is this idea that you don't have the pre-built backbone to do this. You don't have this backbone of this fan base. You can have that initial, everybody's playing it and it's a lot of fun and da 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 da. But I think personally, inevitably you hit that thing where it's like, cool, I'm existing in Grapple City and having a lot of fun smashing this thing, blah, blah, blah. But this is a world that was made up here. And it's my character that I got to kind of make him look like Stone Cold. And this entire experience, to a degree, feels disposable. It just got here. I got it and I had my fun. But I have that one weekend where it doesn't go my way, or I go do something else and I walk away from it. And I have fond memories of it, but I'm not like, I got to get back and live that dream. In a lot of different ways, I feel that's what Smash and Nintendo is, right? You're living your dream of being with these characters all the time. You can laugh at me and laugh at me other than I get it. It's still going on more than 10 years later. DC Universe Online was my dream of jumping into a living, breathing DC world and being a part of that and contributing to it, right? You have to have that backbone to it. If you're a PS I Love You fan, and you will don't mind me spoiling a little bit of what I want to make for my Kind of Funny Showcase video, right? Or special presentation. It's the fact that I think WWE could fucking kill as a live service game, because WWE fans want the Ric Flair alternate attire and want the thing. And after WrestleMania, if it ended and there was a big thing, it was like, come download for 99 cents the new WrestleMania arena. People would fucking go do that. They love that. They do that. And there was a whole argument on PS I Love You, not argument, a conversation with the chat that I loved, and I can't wait to make my whole video about it. Like, well, if that was such a, why wouldn't they do that for 2K? Why don't they do that for Madden? And I'm like, those don't exist the same way WWE does. Multiverses doesn't exist the same way Smash does, right? There's a fandom behind that like, so many people are jumping out and hoping they can either build or hoping that their brand is big enough already to do that. And few brands are that big. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, that's a lot of good points there.
That's what I do here each and every day on Kind of Funny Games Daily. If you like the points we make and the conversations we have, hey, why not go to patreon.com/kindoffunny? Keep the conversation going. Of course, patreon.com/kindoffunny keeps the mics and lights on. And of course, you could go there to get each and every episode of Games Daily ad-free. Of course, you could go there to watch us record the other podcast live. Of course, you get exclusive content like the live Greg Wham doing this very week. But guess what, Jack? You're not on patreon.com/kindoffunny. So here's a word from our sponsor.
Shout out to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode. Try it free for 30 days is enough time to try and completely forget about a subscription or service. Before you know it, you're paying for a subscription that you don't use every single month. With Rocket Money, you can change that with a few quick taps. Rocket Money, formerly known as Truebill, is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending and it helps you lower your bills. Rocket Money makes canceling subscriptions as easy as a click of a button. Rocket Money helped me realize I had a few subscriptions that I just completely don't even need anymore. And now I'm saving that cash money, baby. Stop throwing your money away. Cancel unwanted subscriptions and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/kindafunny. That's rocketmoney.com/kindafunny. One more time, rocketmoney.com/kindafunny. Shout out to Shady Rays for sponsoring this episode. Do you want to look as cool as I look? Yes, you do. And you can. You can take on the sun with gear built to last. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered for the warm weather ahead with premium polarized shades at an unbeatable price. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that offers a world-class product that's just as good as any expensive pair that I've ever worn in my life. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. You can wear your Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after you purchase. exclusively for you listeners, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. You can go to ShadyRays.com and use the code KINDOFFUNNY. You can get 50% off 2+ pairs of polarized sunglasses. You can try for yourself the shades that are rated 5 stars by over 250,000 people. Promo code KINDOFFUNNY at ShadyRays.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Number 3 on the Roper Report, the first in-game screenshot of Avatar Frontiers of Pandora has seemingly leaked. This is Chris Scullion at VGC. It appears that the first in-game screenshot of Avatar Frontiers of Pandora has leaked. Twitter user ScriptLeaksR6, who usually leaks upcoming content in Ubisoft's Rainbow Six series, has now tweeted, he's got to change his name, the branding is all off. You know what I mean? Has now tweeted an image from the publisher's upcoming Avatar game. VGC understands the image is authentic. The screen seemingly confirms that the game will primarily be a first-person shooter and shows the player firing at a giant mech. ScriptLeaksR6 also said they'll be posting gameplay soon. Right? Cryptic. Damn, he put his fucking watermark all over this, which is just drop text shadow, but okay.
Yeah. So here we go. Our wow. First screenshot, it's a 4x3 or 4x4, I guess, just a little square. First person view, looks like a video game.
It looks like, I don't know what I expected. Video. I expect, as you know, I'm not a big Avatar fan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking shit. I'm not doing anybody.
It's cool, but you
know. Oh, totally. I mean, you can see James Cameron just fucking rolling the money about it, ruining the goddamn top 100 movies. It doesn't matter. I didn't expect it to be first person shooter. I don't think a lot of shooting when I mean, I know they're shooting in and I know the fucking guy's a Marine and then he becomes a Navi or whatever. I mean, I watched the fucking movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We hung out with his brother at Comic-Con.
Yes, we did.
That's not what I was expecting. I thought it was going to be more third person run around, traversal, you know, that kind of thing.
I kind of thought it was going to be this. I imagined that when you get on a mountain stuff,
The
Banshees, then it'll probably go third person.
Okay.
Yeah. There might be a mix of something.
As an Avatar fan, are you excited about this?
I mean, no. But, like, I'm also, like, not... We don't know about this. We saw a fucking weird CG trailer years ago, and now here we have this weird fucking screenshot.
Yeah.
I don't think there's enough to be excited or not excited for it. I do think that you'd be silly to be, like, stoked for this, even as a major Avatar fan, because Ubisoft, where it's at and everything, like, I don't know. We're going to hear about gameplay soon. I feel like I've heard that a long time already. But Avatar is back in the swing of things, the movie being out. They're obviously working on the sequels, and those are coming in the next couple of years. So I think they're trying to push into a big Avatar kind of swing of things.
Sure.
Trying to catch the vibe on all that. But then at the same time, Ubisoft just trying to reformat itself and are struggling.
Oof, but I feel like this is the one from the bygone.
Oh, yeah.
Ubisoft,
I mean, I think everything that they're doing right now is every single thing. Like, so that's just where we're at. So it's hard to be like excited for this, specifically not.
See, this shit of walking around and touching animals and, you know, sure, okay. That I would be like, yeah, that's an Avatar game. That's what these people are all about. And we drop into first person gunplay. I don't remember this trailer from anything because I probably didn't pay too much attention to it.
Yeah, I mean, this is Avatar. Straight up.
They don't have any guns, though. I'm kidding. It's a joke. It's a joke. Yeah. I'm not. Shh. Look at this thing. This is fucking first sex monster.
Mm-hmm.
Sucking and fucking everything every time it touches you. This game. This fucking universe so fucking horny. You know what I mean?
Oh, it is really horny.
Remember when their tails got or their hair got attached or whatever?
You know, when people are in love, they have sex.
Sure. Okay. Let's not get out of it.
Okay. Right.
That's not what my wife tells me.
Yeah. But we'll fucking see. I hope to see this in action and be like, oh, this doesn't look horrible. But that's where I'm at.
Jeff Grubb, of course, works at Giant Bomb, but he's a big Kinda Funny fan. And so he put up a poll for us that says, are you excited about the Avatar game from Ubisoft? But then he hashtagged Game Mess Mornings. I don't know what that is. 71.1% voted no on this page. That's what they said there. They said no. So,
yeah, it's
Benji Sales followed up, though, and said, funny thing about Avatar is you probably could have ran this poll about The Way of Water before it released, and the number would have looked the same. Then Way of Water ended up being the third highest grossing movie of all time. Avatar is unique in that it's huge, but doesn't show it online. Yeah. Maybe this will be Harry Potter. Maybe this will be another Harry Potter. Blows the doors off.
There's a lot of maybes there. I just doubt it because...
It's really hard to do that number. But
I mean, like, the Harry Potter fan dream has been the result of decades of people reading many books and, like, being engrossed in this world and living through it and adding so much of their own shit to it and all that. Avatar had that moment with Avatar 1 that was like a cultural phenomenon, and like people were like, it was a religious experience for people in 2009.
Tim blew himself.
I blew myself. There wasn't that immediate game that allowed them to just live in that world. And even with this, it doesn't, like, this seems more first person shooter, like more Far Cry-esque than it looks to be a like dream simulator.
Sure,
like
sure.
Hogwarts Legacy seems to be for the Harry Potter people. So, there's a lot of more uphill battle things here. I think that obviously things have changed now, but Harry Potter was at least something that like majority of people were rooting for, whereas Avatar, majority of people online are rooting against.
Yeah.
On top of that, Ubisoft people are rooting against. On top of that, what the fuck is this?
This is the Avatar, the game that came out 10 years
ago. Okay, yeah.
Developed by Ubisoft.
Looks pretty good.
So, I don't know. It's going to be a tough sell, I think, for people in terms of this being a massive, massive hit.
Yeah.
I don't see that happening. But I also think that it could do... I think that the game has the chance to actually be pretty damn good. And that it might be like a Mad Max type situation.
Okay.
That's I think, more similar to that than
Or it does one thing really, really well, and then the rest of it is kind of just whatever.
Yeah, but the overall gamers are like, hey, I'm surprised by this.
Like, car combat was great. And it was a lot of car combat, so shout out to Mad Max.
Shout out to Mad Max.
Shout out to Mad Max.
Shout out to number 4 in the Roper Report. Microsoft says it has stopped its Xbox Game Pass $1 trial offer. This is Tom Warren at The Verge. Microsoft has stopped its $1 trial offer for Xbox Game Pass Ultimate and PC Game Pass. The trial has been available for years, with brief periods where it wasn't always available in certain markets. And it now looks like Microsoft is considering new promotions instead. Quote, we have stopped our previous introductory offer for Xbox Game Pass Ultimate and PC Game Pass and are evaluating different marketing promotions for new members in the future, says Kari Perez, head of global communications at Xbox, in a statement to The Verge. The $1 trial has allowed people to sign up for Xbox Game Pass for a month before the full Xbox Game Pass Ultimate subscription kicks in at $14.99 per month or $9.99 a month for the PC or console-only subscriptions. It's been a great way to recommend a service to a friend or family member, but we'll now have to wait to see what these, quote, different marketing promotions are for new members. We knew it would happen eventually.
Of course.
Bill's shown his true face. He just wants money.
I do wonder if this at all will affect those opening weekend numbers that we see that are just astronomical. And that's kind of what they talk about. And then we don't hear about the game ever again. Unless it's a really special case. But I wonder how many of those people are dollar trial subscribers. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They come in for the 1 month to do the thing to try that. Yeah. I understand that.
But what's interesting there is Xbox just hasn't had too many big tent pole. Oh, people are here for this. This is why they're using their trial as in large swaths, I guess. There's been a couple examples of that with the Forza Horizon, things like that. But I wonder, obviously, we're getting to this point, Greg. It's going to happen.
All the dominoes are lining up, over. Ladies and gentlemen. At any point, they're going to kick these dominoes over, and we're going to have quite the goddamn time.
Hey, the first one fell. It was Hi-Fi Rush.
So there's Hi-Fi Rush, and then there's we have Redfall, we have Starfield, we have Forza, et cetera. Hopefully more. This seems like the right time for this. This makes sense that they would get rid of this because they were going to have to at some point. And I wonder how many people were doing some type of scam thing of being able to
new email address and all that stuff.
So which is harder on Xbox because of how the gamertag stuff works, but. Not surprised by this at all.
I'm trying to find where Paris Lily had a comment I wanted to call out, but it looks like maybe he deleted it. Maybe it was a response to something. I was going to make fun of him, but if I can't find it, I made fun of myself. I suck. Going to do it. It'll be interesting to see what this does for numbers and stuff like that. Again, it's been around forever. I wonder, too, though, you know, you worry about people abusing the system, right? Xbox sees how many people are signing up for the dollar for the month or whatever. You would imagine they've started to see that drop off on returns, either that not enough people are using it or too many, I guess, are, and they're not. Yeah. It doesn't make dollars and cents. And so for the amount of studios they're acquiring, for the amount of games they're trying to put out and do all these different things, let alone for a big game like Starfield coming up, you know what I mean? Or Redfall, depending on what they think of it. We'll see. Here's the problem with Xbox, though. Nobody fucking on their platform cares about video games. Jen and I are out with little Benny, having a great day yesterday. Roll up to the ice cream shop. Jen's like, I want to get a little ice cream. I'm like, sounds great. I'll get this lemon milkshake. You know what I mean?
It's fucking lemon.
Well, no. Can I have a lemon, sir? What? And a milkshake? No, I just want to eat it. We're there, and I'm sitting there, and I'm wearing my PS5 sweatshirt from the holiday gift a few years ago. Mm-hmm. These kids roll up. These middle schoolers roll up on their bikes. And they're all using, like, motorized bikes now. You seen this shit? They roll up, and they put the bikes down, and they're like, oh, ice cream, blah, blah. And then one turns to me and goes, PS5. I'm like, yeah. Like, do you work for a PlayStation? I'm like, no, I just talk about video games on the internet. He goes, oh, you should talk about Xbox. And I go, oh, you like Xbox? He goes, yeah, that's all we play on. I'm like, oh, cool. Are you excited for Redfall? And he goes, I have no idea what that is. And I was like, get the hell out of here, you punk kids. And I started talking about Xbox Game Pass, but he went to get his ice cream. Then he came, and then his friend was like, we only play Fortnite. And he's like, yeah. And the kid was talking to me. I'm like, how many victory royales you guys? Like, 124. And his friend's like, I got 740. And I was like, oh, this guy's way better than you. And dunked on this kid.
I love you just like getting bullied by these kids and then fucking twisting it on them. You now run these kids. Like, you have this fucking little army.
You know, they respected me. The kid respected me. Came back. He's like, well, you said you did the internet? I'm like, yeah. He's like, podcast and YouTube? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, kind of funny games. And he's like, oh, you got hella followers. I'm like, yeah, I do.
Yeah, I do.
Bye.
Fuckers.
Push my son away.
Hell yeah. They got off of their little motorbikes.
Chase me down. It's like some kind of Mad Max bit. We'll see what happens with this dollar stuff. Who knows?
Yeah, I
it
mean,
was a good deal. It was the best value in gaming. But now when you got Xbox, what are you gonna do now?
And it makes sense for Xbox too, with their like get people in at a dollar, you get the credit card info, and then it's like boom, it's gonna like reload the next month, and they like, let people know that that's happening.
Yeah.
And they hope that they're delivering the goods. That's not as scummy as it sounds.
You say delivering the goods, it does kind of, it sounds kind of scummy.
Well, you know what? We want to play video games. And yeah. If people that are making games want to give us those games, I want to pay for those games.
Sure. But if you want to pay for
new games. All those things need to happen in order for that chain to work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't want to give the money and then not get the games.
Yeah, that is a big part of the transaction of video games, paying the money and then getting the games. Yes, that is helpful, and you do need that. I appreciate that. I understand that. We'll move on though. Number 5. Another AAA studio made up of former Playground Games staff has been formed. This is Chris Scullion over at VGC. Playground Games co-founder Gavin Rayburn has launched a new AAA game studio. UK studio Lighthouse Games will be based in Leamington Spa. Come on. The same town where Playground Games is located. Like, every time, like, literally, we had a lovely brunch on Saturday, right? We went to a farmer's market. Lucy came, Tam came, Simon Cardi came. And at some point, they were talking about, you know, Lucy went back on Sunday to the UK. She started talking about, like, all these, and then Tam was talking about cities, and they were talking about housing markets and stuff over there. And I'm like, you're just making these names up. You know what I mean? These aren't real names for cities.
Leamington.
Based in Leamington Spa sounds like you're based inside a spa.
Like, I bet you that.
Next to the massage table is where I'm running HR, and then over by the cucumber water is where I'm setting up my station to make the game.
I get it. Yeah. I bet you that the majority of people listening to this right now wouldn't believe that there's an A in Leamington. But there is.
So, and again, maybe it's Leamington then, too. That's probably actually true. Leamington. You
know, it's more likely that you're the asshole.
And I know what? A bunch of these UK listeners and viewers are getting all jacked up right now and angry. Oh, my God. I'll just remind you what happened when you fucked with us in 1776, all right? So sit the fuck down, put your monocle back in, boil your cabbage, and have your tea. I don't want your shit right now.
Jeez. 1776.
Not even, I think, what it happened. It doesn't matter. I was on a roll.
Yeah.
You just got to go with it, all right?
It's the War of 1812.
The team is currently working on a as-yet-unannounced AAA game featuring a brand-new IP. Rayburn co-founded Playground Games with Trevor Williams and Ralph Fulton in 2010. The studio would go on to develop all 5 games in the Forza Horizon series, the first of which was directed by Rayburn. He then left Playground in January 2022, with Williams taking over his studio director role. In a statement, Rayburn Stern said, quote, I'm delighted that 30 former colleagues and other industry heavyweights have chosen to join me at Lighthouse. With Horizon, Playground and I created one of the most successful Xbox franchises of all time. We delivered significant commercial success year after year to massive critical acclaim following the success from my time at Codemasters leading Dirt, Grid, and F1. That DNA is now at Lighthouse, and with it, we intend to build something truly special, using all our experience to create a new, genre-defining franchise. Yay! Yeah.
Another one.
Go get them.
Keeps happening.
I mean, that's what you want to see, right? That's how this should work in a lot of... I mean, there's a bunch of different ways, but you rise through the ranks of a studio, you make a bunch of stuff, then you hire new people and you teach them and they start rising and you go off and you do your own thing and then, you know, it keeps going that way. Domino, domino, domino. We get more game studios making more cool games.
Yeah. And then, so the thing is that we report on this stuff a lot on Games Daily, and then there's like that, okay, cool, announcement of who's leaving and then who's joining and then what's the name and then what's the logo and then what's the game eventually and all that. And then we start to see it, and it's we haven't hit that point too often yet. I think
sure.
Me and Bless were just talking about this a couple weeks ago that Callisto Protocol is probably the first example of us seeing in recent times one of these type of stories, like the actual end result come to fruition. We actually get the game. When do you think we get High Moon Studios game even announced?
High Moon?
Yeah. The place Scott Lowe
used. No. You're thinking No Moon.
That's No Moon. High Moon is
High Moon is the people who did Transformers. They did that Bourne game back in
That's
the day.
No Moon.
Yeah, yeah. Oof. When did they announce that? It was how many years ago?
I want to say 2.
God, Lord.
Yeah, I want to say that was like 2020.
Here's what I'll say is I feel like there's been a lot of turnover there already with that one guy leaving who ran the studio and stuff like that. So like,
and Scott as well, right?
Yeah, but Scott, you know, whatever. Scott, right? I don't know. He writes a community post. He does a thing. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like he's making the game. You know what I mean? He doesn't have a socket wrench working
Such
on the
asshole.
Game over there or whatever. It's like, you know what I mean? So, like, I feel like that seems to speak poorly when that other guy left. I can't really find it off the top of my head. Kindoffunny.com/wrong. Who am I thinking of? The guy who, like, founded the studio left. And somebody else, maybe? Anyways, though, two years ago, George Lucas?
Yeah.
Is that a joke? Is there another guy named George Lucas? Or
no, it was a joke.
Okay, just making sure. You know, sometimes people have the same names. Like Greg Miller, the Elvis impersonator.
Yeah, exactly.
Greg Miller, lockpicker for beginners.
Nick Scarpino.
Yeah, well, we have the knockoff Nick Scarpino. That sucks. You know what I mean?
So we're looking at 2021, July 2021 of them.
And when's this game going to be out?
When are we going to see it? When's it going to be announced? The next step in this.
I'll say 2024.
Yeah.
Announced, sure.
Okay. I'm excited.
You're excited for it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Out of all the groups like this, I liked their name and logo best.
They got it. They do have a good name and a good logo. I'll give you that. I'll give you that for sure. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, here's another racing game coming. You assume, right?
Start your engines.
It's got to be. Guy made Dirt, Grid, F1.
I mean, but when it comes to Horizon, like, so much of what makes that game fun... Sure, a lot of it's the driving, but it's just a fun game. I feel like there's talent there that I don't think it necessarily has to be a racing game, even though everything that they named there
of course.
Are racing games. But I think that there's...
Because what Playground is now working on Fable. Yeah. Maybe that's why.
Who knows if it's like how much overlap there was there.
Maybe it's a racist.
Teams and stuff, but... did you say maybe he's a racist? They call them racers.
I said maybe it's a racing game.
Racers.
That they're doing. They're doing a racing
race culture
Fable game. Michael Moonbauer is who left that's No Moon. Thank you very much, nanobiologist. That's what I was looking for. Helpful on that. Number 6 on the Rep Report. And final, ladies and gentlemen. The Nintendo 3DS and Wii U eShops shut down. This is Emma Roth of The Verge. Nintendo's Wii U and 3DS digital storefronts are shutting down today, March 27th at 8 p.m. Eastern. While you'll no longer be able to purchase games or DLC from either shop, you'll still be able to re-download the games you've already bought and play online for the time being. Nintendo first warned us about the shutdown last year and started barring users from loading money into the Wii U and 3DS eShops in August. Sadly, this imminent shutdown means we'll have to bid farewell to hundreds of great digital-only titles available on either store, such as Dr. Luigi, Pokemon Rumble U, Pushmo, Pokemon Picross, and many others. The closures will also make it impossible to purchase the full range of virtual console games on the 3DS and Wii U. We're going to lose around 1,000 digital-only games as a result of the eShop shutdowns, according to an analysis from VGC. And if that's not upsetting enough, VGC says around 530 of those games are virtual console titles, about 335 of which are not even available through Nintendo Switch Online yet. Shout out to, of course, Gerard the Completionist, who put up a video where he went and bought every game on both platforms.
Yeah. Totaling like $30,000. Fascinating video that I definitely recommend people check out as he tries to preserve it all. Last time he can. I was telling you last week that this was my weekend last weekend, making sure I was totally prepped on the Pokemon side of things. And it was not fun. It was really bad. And it reminded me how much I dislike the 3DS experience overall. This is a bummer from a game preservation standpoint.
Of course.
Obviously. There are so many games here, so many services here that are just not going to be able to be played ever again legally. And that is sad. And we talk about this a lot when it comes to how these digital storefronts and digital first games have a shelf life, which is ironic because they're not ever on shelves. When it comes to all of this, I feel like Nintendo handled it in the best way possible, but also the most Nintendo way possible of like it happened in waves of them being like, hey, we're giving you like a year notice on this, but we're giving you just a couple months notice on being able to actually put new funds into it. So it just created like levels of if you really want to make this happen, there's a lot of
you got to plan ahead.
You have to plan ahead. And like, I mean, it took me an entire Saturday to get this shit done. And it was not fun at all. And all of that I was doing was just preparing myself for stuff I might want to do in the future.
One day.
You know what I mean? I've seen a lot of people this weekend being like bummed out that like things weren't happening and stuff. It just sucks. It just sucks that this is where we're at. But also I really appreciate how far we've advanced technologically when it comes to UI and just we just expect things to work now.
Sure.
And I feel like back in the day, we didn't expect things to
especially
work.
Especially for Nintendo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. And I know that, like, it's easy to look at it and be like, well, everything has a firmware update now and everything. Like, you have a fucking day one patch and all that stuff. And all that stuff sucks and it has so many of its own issues. But just trying to load up, like, how slow things move.
Yeah, for sure.
Just how bad it is just to, like, even, like, how cumbersome so many of the screens are to be able to, like, add fun
drilling down into menus and doing
exactly
stuff.
All of it. It's just like such a I and then I pull up my Switch. I'm like, God, this is fucking great. Pull the PS5, the Xbox, any of them.
And when we went
like,
back when Blessing first got hired and we went back and played Peace Walker on PS3, I was like, oof.
Oof.
Yeah, I did not miss any of this and how this all the hoops I had to jump through and do it.
Yeah, man, we don't appreciate where we're at enough, I don't think. Sure. But I do.
Well, it's because you went back and experienced this for all of us. You went
better than you, Greg Miller.
Well, I never argued that. I'm well aware of that.
Cool, Greg, not you.
Cool G. Tim, it's sad to see all these games go away, mm-hmm. but luckily there's new shop mop.
That's true.
Where would I go to find out the mop chop dop dop dop?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today, Stories from the Outbreak Early Access on PC and 9 years of Shadow on PC. New dates for you, the Entropy Center gets a free level editor update on March 30th for PC. And then I got a deal of the day for you, believe it or not. Wario64 says, power a wired controller for Nintendo Switch. Donkey Kong is $15.99 on Amazon. Look at that beautiful controller.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. It's got the man on there, Donkey Kong.
I
guess he's ape.
You don't have anything nice to say.
Oh, you don't like Donkey Kong now?
It's not that I don't like Donkey Kong. I personally can't fathom the market for this controller.
Barrett and Bless.
Just because he likes Donkey Kong doesn't mean he wants to use this controller.
They're Donkey Kong crazy, and honestly, I would then put it, that means they're DKK.
If it was a wireless controller, yes. I'm not fucking with this wired controller shit, though.
Less latency, though, when you're playing Tropical Freeze.
I mean, I guess. But then I gotta sit, like, 3 feet away from my TV. No one wants that.
Nobody wants that. We asked people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames and youtube.com/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunny and listening on podcast services around the globe each and every weekday. Bander SN says Smash Brothers Ultimate Fighter Pass 1 was $25 for 5 characters, and Fighter Pass 2 was $30 for 6 characters. Katie G says Greg was right. It is pronounced Leamington, Leamington. Yeah, okay, great. Spa. So this is the weird British place. Cool, Greg. You're going to have some downtime at some point tonight, I'm sure. Open Google Maps, put in London, then just scroll twice to the left or right, and like look at what they're calling these cities. You know what I mean? Like, what the hell, man? They must have thought when they got over there, yo, letters and words, we got unlimited of them. Just like just toss them all into one word. Why not? It's fucking weird.
Greg Miller, breaking news for you. Coming in hot from videogameschronicle.com.
VGC.
AKA VGC. Ubisoft has pulled out of E3 2023.
The pullout method continues. Roger changed the thumbnail. The headline's changing, I bet. Read it to me.
Is it? I don't know. Ubisoft's pulling out of E3. VGC a couple weeks ago was like, hey, I don't know about Ubisoft. And Ubisoft, Yves Guillemot, was all like, hey, if we're at E3, if we're there, we'll be there. Yeah, but
it
if
was
we're not.
If E3 happens, we'll be there. And it's like, well, they said it's happening.
Yeah, so here we are. But reading this through, the company says it's decided to move in a different direction after previously committing to attend. This comes from Andy Robinson. Ubisoft's back out of this year's physical E3 event weeks after announcing it would attend the expo. Last month, the Assassin's Creed publisher became the first major company to publicly commit to attending the revamped E3, which is due to take place in June at its traditional venue of the Los Angeles Convention Center. However, in a statement issued to VGC, the company said it's now decided to move in a different direction and will instead be holding its own Ubisoft Forward live event on June 12th in Los Angeles.
This is coming after rumors this morning of Assassin's Creed Mirage and the Crew Motorfest being delayed.
Interesting.
Hold on. Thinking this through. Ubisoft Forward live event on June 12th in Los Angeles. Ubisoft Forward, so far, a digital-only experience. Very interesting.
Very.
Are they returning, not to the Shrine Theater, to the Orpheum, I think it is, that the Ubisoft's always at? And if so, what's the difference? Is it just a branding thing? But the Ubisoft Forward versus the Ubisoft E3 press conferences of yore that they used to
yore
at this theater. Very interesting that they'd be moving back to a in-person event and then not be part of the in-person event for E3.
Is it? Or are they just over?
I think it's a little baffling of a decision. Why would you do that?
Key 3?
Yeah, Summer Game Fest.
Game Fest, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. This seems really weird to me. If this is the case, if you're pulling out, why do a live event? Why not just do an event digitally? What are you doing, Ubisoft?
Well, they still want to have the thunder. They still want to have the fun. They want to have the Just Dance moment, right?
But I mean, if you're going to do that,
video call across the world. You know, remember those fun times?
I do.
That everybody enjoyed.
And you're going to say, but if you do it at E3?
I mean, just like be a part of the thing that's across the street.
But it's we don't know what's going on in terms of what E3 is asking for. Like, right, is there exclusivity? Yeah, you can do it. We'd love to do a press conference. We're going to do our thing. Cool, it has to be somehow connected to E3, and we need to get a cut of the money, and you need to be on the show floor, and you need to do, and like, fuck that. We don't want to be, our games aren't ready to be on the show floor. We just want to show them and have a cool thing. Well, then you got to, it's all that kind of shit. That's when you get the minutia of whatever the deal is to be an E3 thing.
What a goddamn disaster world we live in. It's just so minorly annoying. You know what I mean? Like, this whole E3 Summer Game Fest stuff, like, it's really not that bad, but it drives me nuts. It's just so messy, and it could not be messy. It could just be cool. It could just be a good thing. It could just work. But it feels like everyone's going out of their way to make it not work. And just the
little
bit.
It's going to work just fine. It's just going to work. It's going to work how it works. It's going to work what it does. Yeah, okay, so yeah, Summer Game Fest, June 8th is what they got up here for the YouTube theater. And you got this happening June 12th.
But what's that, the YouTube theater?
Summer Game Fest.
Mm.
Not the Shrine Theater.
June 8th.
Yeah. June 8th. Play the Future live from June 8th, 2023 from the YouTube Theater in Los Angeles. It's an exciting time to be us. Lots to go to. Lots to see what's up.
I mean, well, here's the thing, Greg. We assume so. But is there? Is there a lot to react to? Is there a lot to do?
Summer Game Fest. Ubisoft Forward.
Yeah.
E3, whatever the hell that's going to be.
I am so interested in what this Ubisoft Forward looks like.
All I know is Yousef's going to be there flexing. Blinda will be inappropriate on the Twitter.
We'll see.
Okay, we will see, ladies and gentlemen. That's some breaking news for you right there. Let us know for free at kindoffunny.com/KFGD what you think it'll be. Maybe we'll talk about this again tomorrow, depending on what's going on with it all.
Ubisoft's decision to step away from E3 2023 means that with 3 months to go, no major company has been announced as officially attending.
Jesus.
They say that, but they're missing Embracer Group. Embracer Group will be there. It will just be the Embracer show. You're going to go there and have a great time with a bunch of AA games. SpongeBob SquarePants will be fucking riding the tampon down the drain, and Barrett will be like, oh, this is a fucking great one. That's the fucking thing.
Classic. Yep. Everyone's favorite episode.
Yep. That's what E3 stands for now. Embracer three times.
One other you're wrong we had was Nana, who said Gerard spent $22,791 on both the Wii U and 3DS eShops. So there you go. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, please support the show on patreon.com/kindoffunny, where, of course, you could get it ad-free as a video, as an MP3. You could watch us record the podcast live as we do them, like we're doing with the Kind of Funny podcast this afternoon. You could get dozens and dozens of exclusive episodes of shows all on patreon.com/kindoffunny. However, if you have no bucks toss our way, no big deal. Watch us record it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Watch it later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Of course, watch it... that was live. Then watch it later on YouTube. Listen on podcast services around the globe. Use the Epic Creator Code Kind of Funny when you're buying games and doing stuff on any of your devices. And until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.